This is Publishing Talks, a podcast about books and the publishing industry. I'm David Wilk, your host. Today, I'm talking to Leah Paulos of Press Shop PR. Leah's the founder and operator. I don't think, you know, maybe not too big enough to be like a corporate, but you run the show. So I wanted to have you on partly. I mean, I think, you know, PR and marketing is such an important part of publishing and everybody wants to know about it. But I think, you know, the opportunity to tell people about it kind of from the inside is really useful. But also we can talk about past, present, and future because, you know, someone who does what you do, if I can speak English, you're on the front line. You're involved in like the day-to-day of what it takes to publish and sell books. And I think that people who are involved in publicity and marketing are more aware of what's going on. You have to be in order to do your job. So I'm hoping to take advantage of that and pick your brain.
Please pick away. Thank you so much for having me.
So maybe you could talk a little bit, you know, just about your background and tell our audience who you are and what you've done. And how long you've been doing it, and then we can talk some more.
Absolutely. So I am the founder and director of publicity of Press Shop PR, like you said. I launched in 2012. Now, when I launched it, it was just me. It was me in my living room, you know, putting together a website and launching it. I had been doing it for many years before, just under my own name, word of mouth. But I took a little time off when my second son was born, maternity leave. I came back, made it into more of a business. So since then, we've grown. We're now a team of 5 full-time publicists. My husband now works with me as well. And we work on mostly nonfiction campaigns. We work with authors and publishers are our clients, and basically we come on in to give a book its very best shot at success. And the books that really, you know, people come to us for are the books that have a lot of media potential. So, you know, maybe it's something that's very timely or it hasn't really been covered. Any book that the author or the publisher feels like, you know, there's a good shot to reach readers through the media. That's when people come to us. And then we, you know, put together press materials, put together a media list, and really try to line up as much attention as we possibly can.
So in my conversations with PR folks over the last couple of years, I've heard a lot of people say that it's gotten to be much more difficult, which, I mean, fairly obvious if you look back to the time when there were more media outlets covering books for a period of time, you know, over the years, as print media has declined, magazines and newspapers, sadly, you know, really have kind of taken it on the chin, and their coverage of books has declined precipitously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But for a while, I was told, you know, sending out books for review wasn't going to work because there are so many books being sent out and so many fewer reviewers. So the idea would be to pitch stories rather than to pitch, would you review my book? It sort of shifted to the PR person and the publisher and the author have to kind of figure out what's the story? What would get someone in the media interested in this book, not to review it, but to, either write a story or interview the author about something that becomes a narrative that they would be interested in for their readers or mm-hmm. their listeners if they're media, you know, if it's radio or viewers if it's TV. What's your sense of that idea at this point? Is that still true or is that less true than it is? Than mm-hmm. it is? And, you know, how are things moving at this point in time?
Yeah, I mean, it is absolutely true that you cannot rely on reviews for the success of a campaign anymore. Book reviews like you said, I mean, there are fewer and fewer possibilities. We never, ever go into a campaign, or we will never take on a book, if the main thing that the author or whoever is hiring us wants is going to be reviews. Like we line up reviews a lot. We've got a decent track record, but you know, we're not magicians. There's only so much space. So a key part of any campaign now is like you said, figuring out that story, figuring out how to, you know, fit it. It's sort of like a big puzzle. I mean, I always think of every campaign as a big puzzle. You have this book, and then you have the current media landscape. And then how do you figure out how to fit the book into as many of those places as possible? And not any of those places. You have to think about places that, you know, will reach the target reader and a demographic for the book. But it does, you, that does have to be a key component of every campaign these days. And, you know, what that does is it makes it harder for the in-house publicist or the publisher to do all of the promotional work, because in the past it was a bit easier because, okay, maybe you work at, you know, Random House, you have a book or you have, you know, six books on your plate, and you get together the press releases and you send it to all the different book reviewers. And then, you know, hopefully there's pickup. You just can't do that, or you can do that, but it just, there's just so much more competition and so many fewer places to go. So it just requires a lot more work to figure out how to get each book into each outlet. It's a hard spot for authors. I will say there are a lot of new opportunities that didn't exist. So on the flip side, you know, maybe 20 years ago, you'd be like, okay, I got a Chicago Tribune review and Miami Herald and, you know, the Times and all of these things, and that would be great. Now those, you know, that's not going to be possible most likely, but there are a lot of new opportunities to reach your targeted reader through more niche media. So, you know, podcasts are the perfect example of an outlet that, you know, even if a podcast is not that big, if it has a targeted audience that is the readership of your book, it can be fantastic. So there are a lot more opportunities in that way. They sometimes are smaller, but more targeted. So it's the entire framework is just very, very different than it was 10 years ago, 5 years ago.
Right. Now, that's sort of where I want to go next is, it has felt to me, change has been ever present. You know, the book industry, if you look back on the last 30, 40 years, changed a lot. It's the pace of change has increased. And I would say, and we could talk a little bit about social media, where, of course, the landscape changes almost every day. But it does feel like, and I kind of caution authors about this all the time, that, you know, they may have read last year about whatever success story. That's often, you know, you'll read about somebody who was successful in getting their book promoted by doing X. And so everybody wants to do the same X. And after everyone does that for a while, it doesn't work anymore. You know, it's like that. I think it was Yogi Berra who said that, you know, that place is so popular, nobody goes there anymore. And there's that kind of an effect that,
yeah,
if it works, everyone will do it and figure it out until it stops working, because there's an exhaustion rate to successful work to get attention. And it is a lot about attention, you know, and you read about, you know, or you'll hear about the attention economy. But the way I think of it is that there's a limited amount of attention, and there are more books published every minute. What you're describing is essentially what it is today. And maybe this will evolve into something else. We don't know, and we don't know what it'll look like. So I assume that you have to, when you're talking to your clients, you have to both educate them about what you're going to do, but also alert them to the possibility that what you did last year or last week is won't work. So you might have to figure out something new.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you absolutely have to be incredibly nimble these days. I mean, you have to, there's absolutely no sort of resting or sitting back and going for things that have always worked for you. Everything is changing. And, you know, I mean, Substack, I think, is a perfect example of that. Substack is in many ways a fantastic new possibility, you know, where all these review pages have folded. And then there's a lot of Substacks that have big audiences, book reading audiences, that could be great if it's particular to your book. But then, to your point, people now have subscribed to so many Substacks that even that is now, you know, you're getting, you know, 12 newsletters a day that you really enjoyed, and that's why you subscribed. But who has time for that in your life when everything else is also going on?
Right. And of course, I think you mentioned that your specialty is nonfiction. I think that my observation, and I don't know what to do with this idea, but people, you know, you can only read so many books at a time. So you're talking to I think the podcasts and Substacks are really good examples. Many books are mentioned in Substacks, and sometimes they're written by author. You know, the Substack is written by an author promoting the book, but they also truly love books and they're going to, and ideas. So they're going to talk about books and ideas that they've experienced. And if you subscribe to enough Substacks as a reader, are going to feel frustrated after a while because there are two books you want to read, and you won't be able to either. I mean, even if you buy them all, which would be great for publishers, you're not going to read it. And one of the things that I've always thought was important about publicity is the multiplication factor, that if I read a book and I like it, I tell somebody I know what you're looking for. You want word of mouth, you want buzz, you want energy behind a book. And that gets to the point. Right. If I don't have time to read it, how am I going to tell anybody about it?
Right. So
it's it is kind of, it's not the self-fulfilling prophecy, but it is kind of what we're talking about, that at a certain point, everything gets overloaded. And I saw today somebody mentioned, I think a Substack came up and the person said that they subscribed to 50 or 60 Substacks. You can't read all of those.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, I mean, that's sort of also, I mean, one thing that we talk about so much to our authors, and anyone who takes any of our workshops, we talk a lot about how, you know, yes, you want to get media, you want to get this podcast or this Substack or this, you know, radio interview, but then also, you really need to sort of grab hold of those and then make them work for you. So the first time they post or the first time they air or go out into people's newsletters, that's the first hit. But then you have to, you know, put it on your website, put it on your social media, grab the fantastic quotes from it. Do other promotional things, but you have to make it work for you because most people are going to miss it. They can be your fan. You can have a super fan who loves your work, is definitely going to buy your next book or subscribe to your Substack if you decide to do that or whatever it is. And they're going to miss most of what you put out there because, of course, they are. There's too much out there. None of us has enough time for that. So you have to make sure to really, you know, keep it and curate it and put it in its best possible light and make sure it's visible to the people that you want to reach, the potential readers.
You know, as you're talking about that, I was thinking a little bit about how frustrated I used to get with like Jonathan Yardley at the Washington Post or Chip McGrath at the New York Times. You know, this idea, you know, there was only like you could see maybe 50 books a week in the New York Times and maybe 20 books a week in the Washington Post. And I always just get frustrated that Well, it's curated and it's really good, but they're leaving out so many really good books that it's mm-hmm. frustrating if you're on the left out end of things. You know, mm-hmm. it's not, you know, their culture is not inclusive of yours. And now, mm-hmm. in hindsight, I wish that we had them back, because even though they left out a lot because it was impossible to cover everything, yeah. they were at least covering something. And yeah. it was a recognizable kind of definition of culture that that book reviewers had enough readers that if they read a book and wrote about it, a lot of people would buy it. Now, right. what you're describing is real. I mean, this is the way it is. Everything is fragmented, and uh-huh. it's music. It's true of art. All of the media that we uh-huh. hear about, very fragmented. It means everyone has a huge opportunity to become known. But of course, there are so many right. opportunities that it's people's attention. The consumers' attentions are divided in the ways that make it impossible for stuff to be discovered and surfaced and found. Yeah. So it's right. this real irony of too much
yeah.
product, too many
yeah.
things to consume. And yet, right. No barrier to entry. You don't have to right. worry about whether Jonathan Yardley likes your book. Somebody else might find it right. and like it and endorse it. But it's your right. job, of course, is the difficult job of trying to figure out how do you get that person out there, you know, and it's not even the TikTok influencers, but it is another form of influencer that you're mm-hmm. always pursuing. And there's a certain amount of luck and timing involved in all mm-hmm. of it, I think.
Right.
Even if you're really good at what you do, you're not always going to find the right person at the right time, which makes it really frustrating for authors and publishers.
Yeah. 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 And I mean, I think that's why it's really important to go out, you know, to when authors are thinking about how to get their book out there, it's really important to think expansively as possible. And everybody's busy and, you know, there's whatever limitations you have. But within that, think about what you can do. And then you want to, you know, on some level, it is a numbers game, because you do, you know, there are a lot of different opportunities, but then there's also all of these challenges and everybody's so busy. So you never really want to bank on just, oh, these three reviewers or interviewers or journalists, whatever their medium is, definitely going to love my book. Like, well, I don't know. One of them might be on maternity leave. The other one might be taking a sabbatical, and the other one's on a book leave. You know, like, you have no idea what's going on. So you really have to, you know, just think, for one thing, first of all, divorce yourself a little bit emotionally as the author. You know, just if it doesn't work for them, it doesn't mean anything about your book in particular. But more than that is just really think broadly and try and expand outward. If you find these three great journalists, then think about how you can find other people like them. You know, there's a lot of different research methods, but there is an element where you just have to go out pretty, you want to try a lot of people, basically.
I know you have set up another venture, kind of building on your experience in doing traditional PR, or I don't know whether I should call it traditional PR, but doing book publicity and marketing. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that, because you're kind of alluding to, you know, giving advice to authors, and it sounds like that's part of what you're doing in this other thing.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, like I said at the beginning of the interview, for many, many, many years now, we've been doing full campaigns for authors. And one thing, you know, there were a number of reasons that I wanted to do this, but one big one is there were so many authors coming to us that needed publicity support, but it didn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to do a full campaign for whatever reason, including budget. It's not cheap to do a full campaign, because it takes hundreds of hours. So many people came, and we just you know, my team and I would talk about it. We're like, I know we can help them. Like, we, there's so many things that authors need to know in order to navigate the publishing world, the media world, both of which are very opaque and can be intimidating and very fast moving. And you don't really have any guides as you're moving along your publishing journey. Maybe you have an agent, which is great, but a lot of agents are also really busy, like we all are. You can't just constantly be like, hey, what about this? What about this? What about this? So we decided to launch Book Publicity School to give authors all of the information, as much as we could possibly give them, from all everything we know from being on the front lines of promoting books for so many years. So teaching how to create an author platform, how to ask for blurbs, how to work with your in-house publicist. Are you allowed to pitch media yourself? If so, how do you do it? How do you put together a pitch about your book, which is often very hard for authors because they're so close to it? How to find the people to reach out to? So that's how why we launched Book Publicity School, and it's been really amazing. It's been really authors have found it really, really helpful. Book Publicity School, we really work with authors of all sorts. So we work across genres. We've worked with a lot of novelists. We work with YA children's books. We've worked with self-published books. A lot of the strategies and the way of thinking about it translates across genre. And a lot of the research techniques do, you know, like what you actually find. Like, we would never take on a children's book at Press Shop because we don't have all of those contacts and relationships. But I can tell people how to, you know, if they're starting, you know, it's the same research methods to try and figure out who to contact. So we work with all fiction, nonfiction, self-published, traditionally published, academic at Book Publicity School.
Do you feel like you're teaching authors how to do it themselves or how to work better with the structure that you're publishing in? How would you answer?
So I would say it's both. Some authors have more desire, aptitude, need to do it themselves. Others are publishing. They have an in-house publicist, but they feel really overwhelmed by the whole process. They want to know what they can do. They want to know how they can help the in-house publicist help them, how they can, you know, leverage anything that the in-house publicist lands in their own website and social media. So it's definitely both reasons.
This is how I express myself. You know, I know some writers who just feel like the book is the book and I can't do this other stuff. I don't want to do it. What do you do?
So it depends, I would say, on the individual case. I mean, there have definitely been authors that we've worked with where there wasn't even a choice. They were like, I can't do interviews. I hate it. I will, you know, and the expression on their face or what I heard in their voice, I was like, okay, I hear you. I got that loud and clear. In that case, we, you know, talk more about pitching essays, excerpts, op-eds, how to, take any reviews or any written form of writing and, you know, putting it to best use. There are also a lot of authors that say that, and then they are not such extreme cases, and with some support, they can do some interviews. So we try to, you know, figure out where somebody is. We, all the time at Press Shop and at Book Publicity School, we, you know, give tips and ways to practice and be comfortable with it, and help them, put together talking points and mock interviews and things like that. So, you know, it depends. There's certainly people that we have to at Press Shop as well that we have to just forego the interview element of the outreach. That also happens sometimes if an author, we've had authors who've had really, really thick accents that just don't work well on audio. And in those cases as well, we usually have to skip them.
So do you also, I think you mentioned this earlier on, but do you help people build websites, or do you just give them kind of, here's some advice on how to do it and go find the right person to do it? Because, you know, particularly with social media, I assume that people ask you for social media coaching advice and things like that. How much of that do you do, and how much of that do you recommend, you know, strategies and say, here's what you need to do, or find somebody who's specialized, you know, especially with things like TikTok. I think it's very difficult for most people in the book business don't know how to work with TikTok.
So we do more sort of feedback consulting. We can give recommendations for people, but also a lot of our workshops at Book Publicity School is looking at people's websites and giving them feedback like, well, this wasn't clear to me here. I don't know why this, you know, the Atlantic said you were a fantastic writer. Why isn't that on every single page? You know, things like that. So it's more about giving real-time feedback, looking at their social media and, you know, why isn't your book mentioned anywhere on your profile? Things like that. We don't actually do that work for authors, but we do refer out and give that feedback and support. It's hard. I mean, it's very hard to find, very, very hard to find people to do social media for authors that make sense, because you have to get an author. An author is, you know, they care about words. They have to have their presentation down, and everything you put out there is, you're publishing it. So it's very hard to do for an author. Because you have to get every single thing right in order to get everything right, to really understand their brand and then consistently come up with fantastic content. You have to be, you know, you have to be a pro. And then in addition, social media takes so much time. So it's just really hard to figure it out from a business perspective, how to create a plan that works on both sides of it. Works both sides for the person creating the content and understanding all of the author's work and then spending all those hours. And then for the author, it doesn't make sense to spend that much money on social media. So we, you know, have bowed out of that little formula, as have many people, which is why it's so hard to find somebody to do an author's social media and do it really well. But we do give a lot of feedback and advice.
Right. Another conundrum for authors is how much time takes to be a social person online and to do all of the stuff that is required to market your book and still be a writer, which is, you know, you have to wear first your writer hat, which is private, and then your marketing hat, which is public. And it's hard to do. Mm-hmm. So if you were asked like to sort of summarize, what is your theory of the case? You know, like, what would you say to an author who says, okay, tell me what are you going to tell me? What is your theory? Like, what do you believe in? I'm an author. What are you going to tell me to kind of motivate to be a kind of PR knowledgeable person?
Yeah. So I think the main thing is, you know, authors have to understand that, I mean, the promotion of a book, it takes a lot of work, and unfortunately, the way the book industry works now, it's not usually possible for the publisher to do it. They just don't have the resources, the bandwidth. So it is really incumbent upon the authors to seriously, you know, take time, effort to figure out how to promote their book. So what that means is, and this isn't, you know, not every single author is going to be able or willing to do it, but on some level, it's really important to kind of think about your book as, you know, as you're launching a new product to the world. You know, it's not a, you know, product that you buy at CVS. It's this wonderful intellectual, creative, written work, whatever it is. But it is still something that you need people to know about and then to order. And what that means is that, you know, any business, any creative endeavor, if you open a cafe, you know, anything you do, promotion is a key part of it. And you have to, you know, figure out and set aside time to get the word out. So there is an element where, you know, just thinking, okay, what is my availability? What is my time availability? Or, you know, if you have funds to put to it, if you can hire someone to do it instead of you. But if it's you, you know, okay, do I have 3 hours a week to set aside to just think about the promotion of my book? Or if you have more, fantastic. Or if you can start out, you know, way in advance. But on some level, kind of thinking about it as, you know, if people go to work every day to, you know, meticulously pick at something and work on it and keep at it, there's an element of that, you know, and you have to sort of divorce yourself from the emotional piece of why aren't people paying attention to my baby? And just think, you know, this is the work, you know, I have to sit down and do the work. So it's not the funnest message, sorry, but it is true. And then the other thing I always say too is that every promotion campaign really needs to be, it needs to be specific to your book. So in this environment where media is so siloed, where people are curating their own news feeds to exactly what their interests are, you have to figure out for your specific book what those shows are, what those online outlets are, what those Substacks are, what those radio shows are, and go for them. That's always going to be a big, big mover. I mean, if there's, you know, if it's a big book, if it's a big lead title from Simon & Schuster, then you can think, you know, differently. But for, you know, 90-some% of books, you really have to drill down and find those types of targeted places.
I think that's really good advice. So, and thank you. This has been, I think, really good and really interesting. So thanks for doing this.
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me.
This has been our Publishing Talks. I'm your host, David Wilk. I've been talking to Leah Paulos about PR and marketing in the new world of publishing. Thanks so much.